This is All Things Transformers, Episode 9, recorded Saturday, December 13th, 2008. Thank you for listening to All Things Transformers. This is your host, Steve/Megatron, and joining me this week is...
Michael Blanchard from the TFG1 podcast.
And anyways, Master Galvatron will not be here this week, because he's not online. Anyways, I guess we'd better get to the news before I make this another episode of Trainwrecks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I did last week pretty bad.
It wasn't as bad.
Well, I was running on 4 hours sleep, so...
That's the whole reason... I know we're not to the interview yet, but that's the whole reason why I started my podcast was because I slept too much just out of boredom. So, you know, running on 4 hours sleep, it ain't no big deal.
No, not entirely. For the first bit of Transformers news... Simon Furman, November Transformers Question and Answer on the Revelations and the Expansion, as well as the 13, is online. He lists on the IDW publishing boards, with the remaining 5 covered on his blog. Tells plot lines and the follow-up to the Revelations Expansion and various other fates of characters, and his Maximum Dinobots, which is something that he always likes writing about, or the Dinobots, as well as the 13, which are supposed to be the 13 core Transformers that started it all. I'm looking forward to that 13, though.
Yeah, is this... I'm assuming this is comic book stuff, because I don't get into... The only comic book I have read since I was 14 was the comic book that came with my BotCon set, which I paid way too much for on eBay.
Yeah, I used to collect the Marvel comics until I hit a point where I was jobless and needed money, so I had to sell them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I may be getting to that point. All this money I've spent on all these Transformers toys over the last year and a half, I may have to end up selling them because I'm going to end up jobless and homeless by February.
Yeah, damn economy. But, yeah, so I ended up collecting the Dreamwave comics, which I liked very much, and it was unfortunate what happened to them in the end, but I did like their... plot lines and everything, so I collected every Dreamwave line except for the Armada. And then IDW, yeah. I never really got into the IDW series, but I did purchase like the first issue of many of the series, and got the Stormbringer and the Beast Wars ones, which are what stuck out to me.
Yeah, like I said, other than the BotCon one, the only one I can remember actually reading was back when I was in like middle school. I went to the library, and they had a Transformers comic that actually had Wheelie on the cover of it, and it was Wheelie's origin story of how his parents were originally got stranded on Quintessa, and how the Quintessons had killed them or whatever. I don't remember what issue number, I don't remember what publishing company, but that between then and now is the only two Transformers comics I have ever read.
Wow.
I just haven't... I never really got into it. And, like, with, like, Marvel and stuff like that, I would read an Amazing Spider-Man every now and then. But I was more, like, in the 90s, I was more into, like, the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon and Iron Man and all that stuff. And I really had nothing... The only comics that I actually still have, other than the Transformers one from BotCon, that I wanted to collect was the DC vs. Marvel 4-issue thing that they did back in the 90s. which I think went along, it kind of went along with the Spider-Man animated series Secret Wars storyline, I think. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me in comics.
Yeah, I used to be a big collector in comics, but then I didn't have time for comics anymore, and even less time for buying the toys because I didn't have any money, and didn't have time to actually go and mess with them, so now I pay for DVDs and stuff for my site.
Yeah, DVDs don't even get me started. I just put three orders in for, most of it was for Christmas stuff for my mom. She got a dog. I know this is way off topic, but she had wanted a dog last Christmas because she was lonely. I just moved her down here from Massachusetts here in Kentucky. And the dog's name is Snow White. This dog is pure white. It's a border collie lab mix. I mean, this dog, if you're in a snowstorm, you would not be able to find this dog unless you saw the dog's nose.
Wow.
My mom is into all this Snow White stuff, so I found the now out of print 2-disc platinum edition of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs Disney movie on Amazon, which I paid way too much money for, but that's a whole other can of worms.
That's a given for Disney movies that are out of print.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, DVDs and stuff, I just spent over, I think, $300-something at ColumbiaHouse.com. for TV sets that I have been wanting. So, and the great thing about the Columbia House Club is they let you bill it, so you don't have to pay for it right away. So that's the best part. So right now, between my last order, which was last month, and this order now, I owe them like $500-something.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy. I have two shelves filled with DVDs. The top of one of my shelves has about three giant sets. I have the big set of the 007 movies, all 21 movies. I have the Batman 89 anthology set, and I have the Batman animated series complete set, and that is almost touching my ceiling.
Nice.
Yeah, I have a lot of DVDs.
I don't have
as many as Birdman, though. Birdman, Mike the Birdman Dodd, he posted a thing on Twitter a couple of months ago about some of his friends helping him organize over 6,000 DVDs. And I was like,
holy
oh.
cow.
Or not 6,000, he said 600, that's what it was, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, he said like 600, and that's a lot. I don't even have that many.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a comment on that because I got more than him. Because I own just about every new movie that comes out. Plus, I'm buying old TV series I used to watch, and I buy them slowly, so.
See, I don't buy every new movie that comes out. Like, if it's something that I want, or something that I've seen, or something that I know, like, obviously The Dark Knight would be the most recent addition, as far as new movies and stuff like that, which, by the way, I am severely disappointed in the single disc edition. It has absolutely no bonus features, and I will be going to FYE this coming Wednesday to get the Steelbox 2-disc edition. But yeah, it just depends on what's out there. I recently got sucked into the whole Redbox thing, which I was completely against in the beginning, because I'm like, oh great, another thing that wants my damn credit card information. That's just great. So I don't know. Every time I go buy a Redbox and I look at the releases, I'm like, no, I don't want to see that. No, I don't want to see that. So it's a good jumping off point of what you want to buy and what you don't want to buy, because at least through Redbox they're only $1.05 or $1.06 here after tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my crazy ass went out to Black Friday and I bought a UpConvert DVD player. Most of the Full House series, because my fiancé wanted it, and then on top of it we bought, I think, it was close to 15 DVDs for $1.99 each.
Dude, you should have talked to me before. You should have told me about the Full House set, because they have a complete series set of that. It's the entire house. It's a whole special edition packaging. I don't know what the price is. It'll probably vary from site to site or store to store you go to, but it's of the actual house that is the show, and the DVDs are stored inside of it. You could have got the whole series all at once for one giant price. that I love complete series sets now. It's much better than, even though you may have to wait a while before they release it, it's much better than buying the single season sets. And it averages out to about the same price. The King of Queens set is now $199, I think, on Target and Best Buy. If you average that out to $40 per season times 9 seasons, that's about the price that you're going to pay for the complete series.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a couple other ones like Home Improvement and stuff, but that'll be a while off. But
I think they just released the last season of that
this month.
Yeah, I was going to say it was sometime this month. I don't remember exactly when. Of course, I get all my info from TVshowsOnDVD.com. I love that website ever since I found that place. That's where I look for all my releases, for the info anyway.
Yeah, I go to ComingSoon.net.
Yeah, I heard Birdman talking about that, and I went there just to see about, like, Coming Soon as far as theaters and stuff like that. I gotta tell you,
yeah.
Movies, other than like, my two for this summer that I wanted to go see in theaters was Iron Man and The Dark Knight.
Yep.
I have not gone to see anything else other than those two movies. It's just, I don't know, they're just churning out really, really bad movies lately. Of course, supposedly Hollywood's going on strike.
What else is new? That was last year, too.
Yeah, ain't that
but
the truth.
The only other ones I pretty much go and see are the Adam Sandler flicks.
The Adams Family flicks?
No, Adam Sandler.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I was going to say
big
Adam
difference
Sandler.
There.
They only made two of those.
But, yeah, next year my movie picks that I want to see are the new Transformer movie, mm-hmm. G.I. Joe, and Star Trek.
Yeah, I would say mine would be Transformers 2 and probably Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, that'll be awesome,
I'm
too.
Not really into the whole Star Trek thing. I've seen a lot of the different TV shows. I've seen several of the different movies. I think my favorite movie out of all of them would be First Contact.
Well, see, the funny thing is they had to go back to the original crew because that's the only one that actually made the money.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
But anyways, we kind of flew off way off on a tangent there.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of editing for that segment there.
No, well, I'll just leave it in there. Something fun to listen to later.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
New images of Shadow Commander by Fans Projects. And they've surfaced from a Japanese Transformer board. And they show it fully assembled with a new head, a Sword of Fury, and various other aspects with a comic and decals and huge-ass gun.
The gun includes elimination marks? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Okay,
I got it. I didn't read the end of the thing, the end of the story there.
Wow.
I don't know about this, the Shadow Commander. I've heard so many things about City Commander and everything else, and I just, to be honest, I never really liked Magnus.
I liked Magnus
when
I saw him in his white prime form.
You mean the 80s toy?
Yeah, well, not the 80s toy, but the newest, like with the Dreamwave, they had him. Basically, when his armor got destroyed, he looked just like Prime, but white.
I have a very specific toy set that I was after. When I first started spending hordes and hordes of money on eBay, I was specifically after G1 stuff. I'll list them on my podcast, because I'm going to eventually, on mine, I'm going to do like a toy roundtable thing and or a display case, or whatever the hell you want to call it. But, yeah, that was my set. I wanted to get everything that I lost when I was a kid back. So, all these other toy lines, they look really cool. Some of the stuff, like I mentioned to you off the air, that I had gotten that I liked the Toy Arena Series 9 Hasbro reissues. And I have that Astro Train, which he's white and black. And I like him, but other than that, I don't think I'll be picking up the Shadow Commander or the City Commander. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't actually buy any of the classics, which I feel kind of retarded for now because I want the Megatron. But I'm trying to work on that with Toy Arena right now. And but yeah, Toy Arena, they're pretty cool. They're I actually know the owner of it, so
yeah.
Probably won't get any of the Shadow Commander sets or anything. It's just another Nemesis Prime, basically.
Yeah. See, I never had the Nemesis or anything else. The closest thing I have, obviously, is the Shattered Glass Optimus, which I absolutely love. I mean, it's just a new paint scheme on Nemesis, I think. I don't know. I've seen the Nemesis photos on the TFW website, but I just... In between, out of the entire BotCon set, my two favorite characters are the Prime and the Rodimus. Because I just love those color schemes, and the only one that is probably never going to be either transformed back into his alt mode or his robot mode is the Grimlock. I tried transforming this thing, and it is right now, I can pick it up and look at it. His legs are halfway, almost falling off, and his head is not even close to where his body is supposed to be. I don't even know what the hell I did with this thing. I just couldn't figure it out. Once I got, like, because his mouth forms his... You split his neck and his mouth apart, and it forms his legs and his feet. And then the chest is supposed to be this green and orange thing, but his arms... I don't know what the hell I did to it. I don't know. It's ridiculous. So yeah, he's the only one out of the set that is mistransformed, and the rest of them, like Jazz and Ricochet, will never be transformed out of car mode because can't figure out how to do it. I was lucky I got the sideswipe / drench thing transformed.
Yeah, I haven't transformed any of mine in a long time. Although I do remember how to do most of them, I don't really want to touch them because I don't want to risk having them break.
Yeah, since I've had my Soundwave, I found a G1 Soundwave, and since I've had him, he is, you know how Spada always talks about waist articulation and everything else?
Yeah.
Well, my Soundwave, his waist articulation, his whole upper torso is face downwards. I don't know why. I've had this thing for like 6 months. I've only transformed him like 10 times for display purposes only. It's not like I'm sitting here, you know, throwing him against the wall and he won't work anymore, but he just won't. There's something, I don't know whether it's his legs or what the deal is.
Where his knees, like where his legs, they just kind of bend down and droop over?
No, it's the upper part, it's the waist. It's right there where...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Right where his legs split from it.
Well, no, not well, kind of right where the legs split, but it's like right where the tape deck buttons are. His whole waist, right there in that area, it's completely loose and it's falling down. I don't even know why I have him in robot form anymore. I should just transform him back to the stupid tape deck.
I did that with mine before I got rid of it because it was just falling apart. I'm waiting for a. Hopefully a classics one.
Yeah, I was looking on. I was looking at the Sound Blaster version because I had heard Jesse and them talking about that on TFY or the I don't know what it is, the updated version of what he's supposed to be. And I was looking at it, I was like, nah, I don't think so. I'll stick with the regular G1 version.
Yeah, at least that looks normal.
Ain't that the truth? That dark coloring on that Sound Blaster is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those particular figures anyway.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much a G1 and Beast Wars, Beast Machines fan.
The only Beast toy that I have is Deluxe Cheetor. Transmetal Cheetor, Transmetal 2 Cheetor, and he is still in the package, and he will not be coming out of the package, because I read the instructions, and yeah, it would be another Grimlock episode, I guarantee it. He would end up being half-transformed. So, yeah, I'm not even opening that. I can put up a little thumbtack on the wall and just hang him up.
Yep, that's what I do with mine pretty much anymore.
Yep. Alright, what do we got?
Full revised artwork for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Megatron, and Ravage. Have you seen the new concept designs for those?
I have not, other than whatever's on IMDb, or other than what I hear out of, like, the TF Wire crew or the Twig crew, I have not seen or heard anything about the new movie other than it's when it's coming out. I don't even buy into... I would much rather just wait and see it than to even deal with any of these quote-unquote false rumors or true rumors or whatever until Michael Bay actually says what the hell they are after the movie comes out. I'm not even gonna pay any attention to it.
Yeah. Looks like I got this jumbled in my notes, but have you seen the new color images of the Transformer animated Wheeljack and Perceptor, as well as the Hotshot?
I saw the Wheeljack and Perceptor through the TFW podcast, and they look really good. I only remember having one friend that had the original G1 Perceptor mold, and it was all right. My problem with the G1 line, they are small as hell.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's like MicroMasters meets Transformers. What the hell? I mean, as far as the new ones, the Wheeljack and everything else, I don't know if there's going to be in the picture I saw on the TFW podcast, it looked like his, like, light-up ears or whatever the hell they are that shows him talking. It looks like they're going to light up, so maybe he'll have electronics, which I've never really gotten into the whole electronics thing. I had the original G1 off-model Galvatron, the gray and purple one.
Yeah.
And I sold it on eBay, and I bought it on eBay, and I sold it on eBay because I had found, I think it was through Toy Arena, actually. It was through Toy Arena. I found the movie mold. The Japanese one, the purple. Oh crap! I can't even see him. I don't even have my lights on. he's next to Blaster. It's the one that comes with the Matrix necklace. He's got red on his knees. Like, and I'm sure his electronics work. I don't know. I've never even looked for the battery compartment to even try it out.
Yeah, I don't really care for most of the original G1 figures, but. It looks like the new Wheeljack looks pretty close to his original. Perceptor looks pretty close, except for his kind of goofy, nerdy-looking head.
Well, Perceptor is a nerd, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't have to make him look that bad. I mean, look at the new Wreckers comics. They made him look all beefy and tough, and now look at this, and
yeah,
it doesn't look like he could hurt a fly.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I may end up getting the animated season sets on DVD. I don't know yet. I tried watching the cartoon, but half the time I never would remember to watch it at 10:30 in the morning on Saturdays. So I would end up trying to find it on YouTube, and I liked it. It's an alright cartoon, but it's no G1, and it's no Beast. It's no Beast series.
No.
I would love to see, ever since I read that BotCon comic, I would love to see somebody put together a Beast Wars-type animation-style cartoon with the Shattered Glass universe. That would be completely awesome.
A good Beast Wars Megatron. That would be awesome. I'd have to own it.
with David Kay doing the voice?
Yeah.
I don't know if he could do... a good Megatron. He does such a good bad Megatron, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I don't know how a good G1 Megatron would sound, so...
Yeah, I don't think... Mr. Welker could pull it off. It's funny, I actually didn't know that he was the one that did the Galvatron voice after the movie until I looked it up at one point. And I looked it up and I'm like, oh, okay. And I actually like, because I watch, and everybody, well, most everybody I've heard podcasts from completely does not like the Rebirth series, the three-part ender to the 84 cartoon, or the 80s cartoon. I love it. I think it's the best thing that they ever did. At least they're giving the Autobots a fresh start, even though they're still in the back of them, in the back of their minds. There's the threat of Galvatron and Scorponok at the end, but at least they're okay. They're surviving, whatever else. But the voice, I never really noticed the difference until then, and I like watching Rebirth more than I do the movie now, because I'm not really too keen on Leonard Nimoy's Galvatron.
Considering
Mr. Spock didn't even acknowledge the role, I've heard that he doesn't even acknowledge doing that movie.
IMDb does.
Well, yeah, I know IMDb does, but it's just ridiculous. I don't know where I heard it or read it. It's probably on one of the various Transformers podcasts. Somebody said that he does not acknowledge that role having done that at all.
Yeah.
And that's very, very sad.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've also heard Welker didn't really care for the post-movie Galvatron either. He liked doing the Megatron voice.
Right. I did hear that. But the difference between the two, at least Welker acknowledged that he did the voice. I've heard about Nimoy is he completely does not acknowledge having anything to do with that project. And that's just ridiculous. You can dislike it. You can not like the way you perform, but don't just completely this is not the CIA. Don't completely disavow something that is in your filmography. If it's listed somewhere on the internet, you did it, damn it. What do we got next?
Next BotCon set to include three remolded heads. The Transformer Club newsletter for some has arrived. I haven't gotten mine yet, which kind of irritates me. But anyways, says it's not clear what the theme of the box set will be. It will be a Universe Classics theme or a Transformers Animated or possibly something new.
The guy that I bought my Shattered Glass set from asked me, because he had actually gone to BotCon with his brother and a friend of his, and they each got a set, and his brother didn't want his set, so the guy was going to sell it on eBay, and can't believe I'm admitting this, but I paid close to $900 for that set.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I paid $866.99, including shipping. But he had, after I had gotten the set, and I emailed him back and told him, it's great, I love it, you know, thanks for the set and everything else. He had mentioned to me about the 2009 set, and I just told him, I said, you know, it just depends on what it is. Because I have looked through the BotCon archives, and I don't want any of the older sets.
Nope.
I wish that they would have just continued Shattered Glass. And I got a question, is there... Because according to my Shattered Glass comic, it is the third issue. Is there an ongoing Shattered Glass series outside of BotCon, or was that... Okay, there is. Okay.
It's in the Transformer Club comic. It's kind of mixed in there with the... what the hell is it called? It's the failed attempt before Beast Machines, whatever the hell they called that. I can't remember right now.
Oh, Transtech?
Yeah.
Or was that after...
It's supposed
to
be mixed in
with that. Or was
that
after Beast Machines? Okay. Because I wasn't really sure. Because after I read the comic, I was like, holy shit, they can't end it like that. Because they ended it like on a cliffhanger type of deal. And I'm like, wait a second, there's got to be more. Oh, wait, this is the last page. I don't want to rip the comic book now, do I?
Speaking of comics, IDW is going to offer a Transformers Animated / G.I. Joe comic as free Comic Book Day 2009 offering. on May 2nd. So, yeah, it'll be 11 page stories of both, and the Transformer animated one will feature young Optimus Prime at Autobot Academy. And, yeah, I don't know. I'll pick up the free comic, but I'm not going to buy any more comics.
I mean, I don't really... Well, like I said before, I have been so out of, like, comic knowledge and for so long. But, you know, picking up free stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't understand why they did not, in the animated series, in that episode, Autobot Camp, why they did not put him in there. Almost every Autobot that we see, generally, in the animated series, other than Prowl, like Bulkhead and Bumblebee, were in the Autobot Camp episode. I don't understand why they wouldn't have put Prime in there at some point.
Because he was in Command Camp with Sentinel.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, see, I didn't realize that because we never actually see Optimus. We just see that jackass Sentinel.
Yeah, I'm not too... I don't like him.
No, I don't like him either. I don't know who does his voice. I'd have to look it up, but that has got to be the... I don't know. Let me look it up. I'm not really sure who does it, but I think it's somebody that I've heard before.
I'm sure we've heard them all before.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like, okay, like, with the brain interview that Twig just did, there's some voices that Maurice did that I didn't even know that he had done until I listened to the interview.
Sentinel is voiced by Townsend Coleman. I have all the voice actors listed on my site, so.
Yeah. Of course, but my damn computer is way too slow.
Tom Kenny and Corey Burton and David Kay seem to be doing a crap load of voices for the series, though. As well as Tara Strong.
I gotta tell you, between Welker and Burton, they could be Megatron forever. Other than Kay in the specific Beast series. As far as just like a general overall non-Beast Megatron between the two of them, they can do it as long as they want to in my book. Corey Burton does and has done a lot of voices. He's had a stellar voice career.
Yeah, a lot of them have been involved with the original G1 because they've all been passed on through various series. And most of them all get to stay together through various series.
Yeah, that's like, and this would be something that's off topic, that's like the DC animated universe with Batman, Superman, Justice League, and all that. Pretty much all of those voice actors that did any of those cartoons all crossed over in the other cartoons.
Yeah, I'd seen some of those.
Let's see what he did. You can go on, if you want to go on to the next one, we can, because I'm just looking up what else Mr. Coleman has done.
Okay. Or,
yeah. Wasn't sure if that was a picture of a man or a woman.
audio interview with Transformers animated story editor Marty Eisenberg is online at Art and Story. It's cvcomics.com/art and story. But they posted an interview on there with him discussing various writing aspects of the Transformers animated. And most of the interview is featuring Transformers. I actually have not seen this yet, but I'll probably check it out after the show.
I haven't really. When it comes to animated, after the movie, and they started promoting it, after the 2007 live action, and they started promoting the animated series, I was like, what in the hell are they doing? That does not look anything like what we're even remotely used to. And something that really, really steams me is the whole Optimus Prime face where I guess you could call it a visor or some sort of mask, where it doesn't show his mouth, and it keeps opening and close. That makes me so mad. That is not Optimus Prime.
Well, they're pulling the Beast Wars effect,
yeah, I know, but I never even saw, I don't think at all in the entire Beast Wars series, him have the regular G1 Prime head. Or not the head, but the face itself.
Yeah. No, he never looked exactly like Prime, but he did have the faceplate that covered his mouth.
Okay.
When he went into battle mode.
I know where I remember Mr. Coleman from. That's why Sentinel, that's why I can't stand Sentinel's voice. He was the Tick.
You know, that's actually pretty funny because Sentinel looks just like the Tick.
Well, in robot mode anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I knew there was a reason why he looked and sounded familiar.
Wow,
and I always
Michael
thought
Angelo
of the Tick, but I didn't think it was the 90, same voice.
80s to 90s, I was going to say Transformers. Michelangelo is not a Transformer. No, the Ninja Turtles, the cartoon.
Live-action movie?
He did the voice of Michelangelo.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff on him. And it's stuff that you wouldn't even think that... Holy crap, he was Waldo in the Where's Waldo cartoon.
I remember watching that. Not very much, because it was kind of boring. But
well, you know,
I think I'd seen it like once or twice.
A book adapted into a cartoon. Yeah, that's kind of boring, especially... Oh, God. I can't believe I just saw that. He plays a voice in the cartoon Gem. He plays Cisco, whoever the hell that was. And... I saw it off and on.
Yeah, I never really seen that show.
Watch it on a regular basis. Oh, he was a Fraggle Rock person too. Gobo Wrench and Architect. I miss Fraggle Rock. I gotta get that DVD set. Well, supposedly, according to TV shows on DVD, they with some of the discs when they first released the complete series set. Apparently some of the discs did not play and you had to do the whole, you know, send it back and we'll send you a replacement. So I'm just waiting it out to the fact that they produce correct ones and not have to worry about sending crap, back.
Yeah. New images of Master Priest, MP08, Grimlock, Dino Mode have surfaced at, AmyAmy.com, and it shows him in his T-Rex mode with various angles, as well as his robot mode in full color, and it's due out in March of 09.
I like the Dinobots in both animated and G1, the cartoons, but I never really liked the toys. I mean, I had a G1 Grimlock a long time ago, but I never really liked them. So,
my brother had the original G1 Grimlock toy, and I never really cared for it at all. But this new one looks pretty badass for the MP08.
Yeah.
For a Grimlock,
there's only so much you can do with Grimlock. You can't really do. Like what they're going to eventually try to do with Megatron in the new movie, like, change his alt mode. You really can't do anything with Grimlock other than make him a T-Rex, because that's what he is.
One thing I want to see Hasbro do is make a show-accurate Galvatron and show-accurate Soundwave from G1. Not the... changed me into a tank thing. No, I want to see the actual canon. Like they're doing the new sound, or doing the new Cyclonus for classics, and made it.
What do you mean you
want to
see a G1 accurate Soundwave and Galvatron? They are accurate. They're not color. Now the original G1 toy was not color accurate to the cartoon or the movie, but the transformation was kinda. He's not...
Well, I mean, like, updated a little bit, but keep the same form. And the Galvatron looked, like, the head's the same and the cannon's the same, yeah. But his transformation as the original G1 toy sucked.
Yeah, the transformation I think I have the box. It's sitting somewhere where I cannot reach it. I'd have to look at it again. Of course, it's written in freaking Japanese, and I can't read it. But the reissue that I got from Toy Arena, the movie accurate colors and face. I don't know if it's E-Hobby or not. I thought it was a Takara Tomy thing. I don't know. I would have to go grab the box, and I would have to actually put the headset down, and that's not going to work right now. But I'm kind of looking at this thing, and I doubt this is going to let me reach all the way over here. Nope. I'm looking at this thing from a distance, and the only thing that they added to the G1 toy, whether it's a reissue or not, is the fact that you could use it as a laser pistol. That was the only difference as far as I could tell. Now, Soundwave, I think I can reach him. I didn't put him too far away. Soundwave is pretty much G1 accurate, I think. He's got the same gun as he had in the animated series. He's got the same head. Of course, his little radar thing won't stay in the hole here. Damn it. The door, that's the problem I had. I got several different cassettes to go along with him, and none of them fit inside his tape deck. Only Buzzsaw and Laserbeak fit inside the deck. I don't know why. But, I mean, Soundwave is pretty much the same thing as his G1 animated version is. The only real difference to him, actually, he and Blaster have the same problem, the G1 Blaster. They have, at the arms, they have rods, so the arms can go back and in his tape deck alt mode, there's like wires that, not wires, but like rods, like I said, that show up. I'm actually transforming this thing back into the tape deck because I'm sick of having his look like he's bending over to reach for something. But it's pretty much...
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing as you see in the G1 cartoon as far as the robot and the... Crap, I just opened the door. The robot and the tape deck mode. I mean, there really isn't anything too different. They even, on the toy, they even have, you know, once you apply the stickers, obviously, they even have the record stop thing at the bottom where his waist is, and they have the volume control on the side and like a power button on the side, but that's to, I think in robot mode, that's for dealing with his arms. But it is pretty much G1 accurate to the cartoon. The other thing you got to remember is, though, the toys came out first, and then they created the cartoon.
That is true.
Yeah, Blaster's a nightmare. I don't even want to deal with Blaster.
Yeah, my brother had that one, and the tape deck was broke on it, so he tore it apart, fixed it.
Yeah, after I got mine, I couldn't get the tape deck open to save my life. Tried to get it open, and then I finally just pressed the button hard enough, and it popped open.
Yeah, he ended up doing something like that. Well, I think it's on to the last article before, Soundwave and Rhinox to be future universe releases. It's in a interview printed in Toy Fair number 138, a February 2009 issue, which is odd that it's being printed now, but regardless... Universe designer Bill Rowley talks about the future of the Universe line. He states that it's going on hiatus next year for the movie line and may return in some way, shape, or form after the movie. And basically it says that the top two that he wants on his wish list are Generation 1 Soundwave and Beast Wars Rhinox to get a re-envisioned, at least Voyager-sized figure. It says there's no confirmation that it'll return, nor confirmation of either one being produced. but
yeah, I don't know. With all the reissues out there of Soundwave, like the Sound Blaster and all that, you're, even though it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, like mine did, even though it's probably halfway broken now, you're better off finding the G1 accurate original 80s toy than going after some reissue that you just don't know. I had a question. What is the deal? Like, I always hear, I keep referencing TF Wire, which is really all I listen to half the time. They always reference, like, molds and size classifications. For G1, what the hell were the size classifications? Because the two, out of all the G1 toys I have, the two tallest ones are Galvatron and Blaster. And Soundwave does not come anywhere close in robot mode to Blaster's size.
Well, probably they just kind of made them as they went, or made however they could to get the same figure, or to at least look like the show if they didn't have a figure by the show. But I'm pretty much guessing that they started it tiny, small,
yeah, and little oversized.
Bit bigger, little bit bigger,
yeah, really,
and super size.
Yep. And I never understood the entire time, whether it's now or whether it's the one I used to have, the Optimus Prime figure. Why in the hell would they not make his doors on the back close? I hate that. His, when you transform him into robot mode, his doors where his stacks are to get his arms out, they open up and it's just an open space in the back. There is no, it's not like Soundwave where you transform him and he has the back, like, battery part where the supposed accessories are supposed to go. I never understood why they didn't put an actual back on that figure.
Because Prime can be shot through the chest and still survive.
I'll rip out your optic sensors! Oh.
I'll rip out your optics!
I'm moving now and I haven't even watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but I just like doing the G1 yeah. Meg's voice and Beast Wars Meg's voice, so any chance I get, yeah. I like doing them.
It was funny, when I got the Soundwave, it showed on eBay the pictures of what all it included. Well, the guy that sent it to me neglected to put the blue things for his gun and for his little thing that goes on his shoulder. Well, no, wait, the story's not done yet. It shows in the picture all that stuff, but neglected to put it in the bag, so I sent him a message on eBay. I said, where are these things? And he goes, oh, well, they're supposed to be like batteries in his back, so if you undo his back, they're in there. So I popped it open. I'm like, oh, shit. He goes, yeah, I know. I should have put it in the bag. Sorry. But I was like, I just spent $300-something-odd on this thing, and he left something out? That's messed up.
Yeah, luckily I got a local hobby shop that's about half hour away that I can go to that they have all kinds of busted Transformers toys in three big bins.
That's the same here. We have a store called Great Escape here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I got an Astro Train there from once, which I resold on eBay for like $8. I paid $15 for it, so at least I made half my money back. But it was like just in a bag, included no gun, and it was completely loose. And it wasn't loose to the fact that the figure was going to fall apart, but, like, the wings, when you transform them, you could pretty much move them like a contortionist would move their body. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. I never really got into the whole... I never have gotten into the line figures, like Universe Line, Movie Line, and what you said about them putting the Universe Line on hold for the Movie Line, I started snickering at that because the first Movie Line sucked.
I didn't. I almost picked up some figures, but I kind of decided against it. I didn't really care for the designs.
The only thing that I have of the actual, other than the two-disc edition DVD of the movie, I have three different posters. I have an Autobot poster that was at Walmart, a matching Decepticon poster, which are hanging on my wall, and I have the Optimus Prime spec poster from the movie, and I don't even like that. It's a nice decoration, but I would never buy any of the movie line figures. I just don't like the way that they did the transformation and everything. I just don't like the way they look.
Yeah, I don't really care for them either. I probably won't pick any up unless they're really good quality for the next movie. Although that Megs, if Megatron is a tank and he looks halfway decent in robot form, I might pick that up. But I'm not paying $40 for a damn figure. But that's just me because I'm kind of cheap, and I'm used to paying for like back in the day when Beast Wars was out, and I paid $30 for Optimal Optimus, and I don't care to spend $60 for a figure that's pretty much that size. And but that's because I just don't have the money to blow on anymore. And if I'm gonna buy them, I buy the Optimus or Megatron, mostly Megatron. But I'm not
when I first started my collecting again. And I started buying the stuff off of eBay. I called my mom up after I got my blaster because on the box, which because I collect the boxes as well, because what I'll do is I'll put the boxes out as display and I'll put whatever figure goes with that box on top of it, whether it's in alt mode or robot mode. Well, I look at the blaster box and it still has the original whatever store it came from sticker on it. It was $23.99, and I paid $330 for it off of eBay. So,
nice.
My mom, I told her this, and she goes, "Yeah, I used to go to a whole bunch of old I'm trying to think what it would be here. They used to go to rummage sales, like stores like Kmart, and they had a store up at Benny's. But she said they used to go to those type stores all the time, and they would get brand new Transformers, the 80s line, for like $7.99, $14.99. Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, you gotta remember at the decline of G1 after 87, 88, the toy line obviously would decline because they're not producing the cartoons. They weren't producing the cartoons anymore of the G1 US release through Rebirth, so.
But yeah, I'd seen quite a few years ago, probably around time Beast Wars was out, about 10, 12, 13 years ago, something like that. I'd seen the entire G2 line on sale, regular price, in a KB store, and I wanted one and didn't have any money because, you know, I was a kid and parents wouldn't buy it because my wallet was at home, and so I went back the next week, and, they were all gone, so I was like, damn you. But I did end up going to Florida a couple years later, and my aunt used to go to flea markets, and so we went with her, and my brothers got ripped off. They bought a bunch of little falling-apart Constructicons and Bumblebee and everything, and with legs falling off, so they had to glue them. But I bought a G2 Megatron, which was in tank mode, and the guy didn't know what the hell he had, and I bought it for $2, missing the bullets and his little handheld gun, but the rest of them was there, and the sounds function and everything, and I still have it to this day.
Yeah, after Rebirth ended, I remember when Power Master Prime came out, and I remember seeing, I don't know if it was the G2 cartoon or not, I remember seeing additional cartoons with Prime and everybody. But it was kind of like split up, kind of like the Super Mario Brothers Super Show is. Like, you have live-action stuff, and then you have the cartoon. So I don't know if that was G2 or not, but after G1, I went into other cartoons. And, like, 97 was when I finally saw an episode of Beast Wars, and I'm like, what in the hell is this? So I started watching it, and I got to like most of it.
They should have definitely continued with that series and skipped the whole Beast Machines ordeal, but
now,
or at least
postponed
it.
I hate to call him out, but when I first started listening to TF Wire, I sent Jesse an email about the differences between Rebirth and Endgame, which was the last Beast Machines episode. And if you watch those two episodes, the very last parts, part threes, if you watch them together or if you watch one before the other, they are amazingly similar. In the G1 Rebirth, you have Galvatron getting the plasma energy chamber opened and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And at the end, Spike goes and has the, you know, sucks in the energy of the sun and re-energizes Cybertron. And in Endgame, in the Beast Machine series, you have basically the same thing where the Oracle, or whatever the hell it's called, reformats the entire planet and it's all organic. It's almost the same thing. They're re-energizing Cybertron in both series.
Yeah, they are pretty similar. Although I was not too thrilled with the ending of Beast Machines, that last, like, 2 minutes of the show.
Yeah, with Cheetor taking over. Cheetor's too irresponsible to be taking over.
But they can't kill Megatron.
Oh, that's the only part you're concerned about. They can't kill Megatron. Well, they did.
Oh. Yeah, but he came back. Because I said so. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyways, I guess I'll get on to the interview now.
Okay.
So we're closing on 55 minutes now.
Oh, really? I haven't even noticed. Yeah. I haven't even had... Oh, yeah, we are. I haven't even had the Audacity window open. I just had it minimized because I was looking at a whole bunch of other stuff.
But, all right, for the beginning of the interview for the TFG1 podcast, I guess just tell everybody pretty much who you are and... Yeah.
Well, my name is Michael Blanchard. I am originally from Boston, Massachusetts. As you can tell from the earlier segments of this podcast, I am a huge G1 fan. It was pretty much the only thing, as far as Transformers went, that I was interested in for a long time. And I had had a lot of the toys when I was younger. I actually had more He-Man toys than anything else until my dad sold them when I was six, and he told me that I was too old to play with toys, which that was a very earth-shattering experience, but I still have my Castle Grayskull. It's not in the greatest condition, but it's traveled with my mom for the last 27 years. I'm living in Louisville, Kentucky now, and I just have so much time on my hands that I wanted to pick something that I could... I kept thinking and thinking and thinking, what could I talk about? What could I do a review-style show on? And I recently, just as I said in the first episode of the podcast, go to iTunes and download that, please. Search for the TFG1 podcast. Of course, if Steve gets the feed right...
Yeah, I accidentally overwrote that with mine, yeah. So I did upload the correct one, so it should be working now.
Amongst all the other things that I've overspent on eBay, I spent, which is the lowest amount that I've ever seen, a G1 DVD set for the U.S. release Rhino sets. Paid like $300-something for the 5 box sets. And I, like I said before, I love watching Rebirth. I love watching the 86 movie. And I figured, why not start a podcast? No one else seems to be, like, someone would start it, like, recently, since I had first told you this, I have seen several different review podcasts on iTunes, but whoever's been doing them has never actually finished. Like, there's one that's titled Transformers G1 or something Transformers Lovingly Reviewed by somebody. I don't know who it was. I tried downloading an episode of that, and it would not download. I don't know. So I figured, you know, I watch the shows. I'm going to watch the shows. Basically, the podcast will... I don't know how long it's going to run. So far, I have a 24-episode lineup set up. I am going to be reviewing them 5 episodes per episode of the podcast, with hopefully a 86, 2007, and 2009 movie roundtables in there, which... Steve, I'd like you to be in on, and I'm going to try to get a couple of other people in on those for roundtable. Yeah, trying to get Birdman. He's not exactly the easiest person to get a hold of, and I still say, you keep ignoring us, the Twig fandom will revolt.
We will come after you.
That's right. We will fly to Canada, and we will take our lightsabers to you, and your Jedi powers will be useless against us. Wow, that's really off topic. So, originally, I had started, when I first got into podcasting, as far as listening to podcasts, I was into the Justice League cartoon and the Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series and those DC animated cartoons. So I was looking around just seeing if there was any kind of podcast dedicated to this thing. So I found this podcast called World's Finest Podcast. And the only thing in iTunes that it said was the artist was called Project Cadmus. Well, Project Cadmus is a storyline. It's an 8-episode story arc in the Justice League cartoon at the end of, I think it's the Justice League Unlimited Season 1 is the ender of that. So I thought, okay, well, this is going to be a podcast dedicated to Project Cadmus, the eight episode story arc. Lo and behold, I download this thing, and these guys, Michael David Sims and James Doe, are reviewing every episode of the entire DC Animated Universe, starting out with Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, The Zeta Project, Static Shock, Justice League, and Justice League Unlimited. So I've been listening to this, and as I said before, I have so much time on my hands, I figured I would actually do something about it. And that's where this came from. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of hard work. I've already got, I think, through episode 5, I've got the scripts written up. So, yeah, that's pretty much where it all started. Other than that, I mean, I would love to get... I've been dying and trying to find somebody that can get Peter Cullen for an interview. I know that this man is very open to the fandom. I've seen interviews with him saying that he is, you know, he just loves the way the fans react to him, and I would love to have Optimus Prime on my podcast.
I'd love to have David Kay and Frank Welker.
Yeah. That would be kind of weird, though, having...
Many generations of Megatron. As well as someone who can imitate both.
Yeah, that's true. But that would be a very, very off the wall podcast. Can you just imagine having Welker and Kay fight it out as Megatron?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Or you could have Welker fight it out as Galvatron.
Yeah, I can't do the Galvatron too well, so I'll do the G1 Megatron.
I don't...
Kay can do the Beast Wars, and he can do Galvatron.
Yeah, I don't know how he does that voice. The Galvatron voice, that just amazes me.
Yeah, I'm still working on that one.
Yeah, eventually, down the line, if I ever get the DVD sets, I will be doing Beast Wars. I don't know if... it will be a separate podcast, or if it will just be episodes in addition to G1, I'm not really sure. Most likely it would be a separate podcast. That way it would, you know, you could choose either or and have two different artworks and everything else. Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
But...
And it would be much easier. Yeah. I'd like to point this out to everybody that may listen to Steve's podcast. If you would like to be a podcast host with me, it would be much easier on me than having to do it by myself. The only requirement that I have is you must either own or have access to the 5 set seasons or the 5 DVD set box sets of G1 US release cartoon. That's the only requirement I have, as far as being a podcast host with me. It would just make it a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah. But, alright, and, what got you into Transformers?
The cartoon, really. I mean, like I said, I had some of the toys. I didn't have all the toys, but it was basically G1. It was basically the G1 cartoon, and of course the movie... the 86 movie. And I admitted this on the first episode of my podcast, that I absolutely bawled, screamed, threw a fit in my living room when I saw Prime die. And I'm not talking about the death scene with all of them guarded around him. I'm talking about when Megatron shot him the last time and he went end over end and whatever else, and I knew he was dead right there and then. I didn't need to see the death scene.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense fight.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
Yeah, and I've noticed going back and through the cartoon shows, almost every other episode is an epic battle between the two of them, between Prime and Megatron at some point over some energy source. There is some sort of battle that they get into. It's not as epic as the one in the movie where they both die, obviously, but there was one episode, I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. I believe it's coming up in either episode 2 or 3 of TFG1, where...
Is that the one where Megatron steals the powers of everybody?
No, no, that's Heavy Metal War. That's the season ender. No, it's not Heavy Metal War. It's the one where... Divide and Conquer, that's what it is. Where they have to go, where Prime... rushes in to defeat Starscream and the other Seekers, and Megatron tells them to gang up on him. Well, he hits the computer and he shields the blast from Spike, and it was either Spike or Chip or somebody, I don't remember. It was one of the kids, one of the damn humans that wouldn't get out of the way. He shields the explosion from them, but he is badly damaged, and the only way that they can repair him is to get some Cosmotron part from Wheeljack's shop on Cybertron.
I remember that
one. So, you know, he did a really good... I'm telling you, Peter Cullen can do good death scenes as Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah.
That just is great.
And what would your favorite aspect of the series be?
It'd be a tie between the movie and Rebirth. I would have to say, because I really can't choose either side. Yes, I know the Decepticons are evil, and I understand that, but still, there are some Decepticons that I like. Like, take Astrotrain, for example. He is by far my favorite G1 toy. He has always been. I never really liked the Megatron toy. It just... I've seen video reviews of it, and it just looks completely impossible to transform, even though the people in the video reviews did it quite well. But as far as the overall cartoon series, it's a tie between the movie and Rebirth. Because I like those two the best out of all of them. I haven't gotten to it yet in my watching. There is an episode. There's actually two episodes that tie into each other. Autobot Spike, when they have to transfer Spike's brain into Autobot X to save his life. And at the end of that episode, Bumblebee says, I wonder what it would be like if a robot's body was transferred into a human's body. And lo and behold, later on down the line, after the
season three,
there is an episode. I don't remember the name of the episode. I will get to it, and I will note it in the podcast. There is an episode where Magnus, RC, Springer, and Rodimus all become human. And the funniest thing about that is they're all color correct. They're all color coded to what their robot colors are.
And the funniest part is, Cobra Commander's there.
I mentioned it in episode 1 of TFG1. It just amazes me. I did not know how many voices Lada actually did. Now, I know that they take a lot of voice actors and have them do different voices. I did not know he was the voice of Wheeljack in G1.
Yeah, I know. That's a completely oddballish voice.
I mean, it just doesn't sound like Starscream / Cobra Commander, whatever. Yeah, I I don't know. But, yeah, that it's amazing how much that they went back and looked at and took storylines from the first couple of seasons and redid them with the new characters.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff with them, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Voice actors have a lot of talent, especially for jumping between various series and having different voices or variations of the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra Commander and Starscream are pretty much
the same
as
thing.
Close as... yeah.
It's the same thing.
Except for a bit of a lisp with Cobra Commander.
Yeah. I said... I don't know if I've said it in episode one. It might be episode two, but at this point, I am so sick of the Megatron Starscream power struggle.
Well, they just keep dragging it on series after series after series.
Oh, no.
And it's just... come up with a new dynamic. I mean, yeah, it's great to see it, but it's not G1.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not talking about the fact... I'm talking about in G1.
Yeah, that's true. They did it way too much.
Throughout the entire first season, every other episode, they had a power struggle.
Just like Prime had to die in almost every episode.
Yeah, that's true. I think they were...
they're practicing.
They should have just made the movie first and then done the cartoon.
Well, what's funny about that is the movie
was written within the first season.
Yeah, before season two even came out, and Scramble City was supposed to be a filler between them, which they never finished, and it was also a Japan only series. Man, I can't say that word. But Yeah, they. I was a part of the fan dub project that redid Scramble City, episode one.
Yeah.
And basically, it helps bridge it, and they took parts from the movie and some CG and some mixed it together and created the bridge between season two and the movie.
See, I wish they would have done that over here and not just over in Japan, because that would have been kind of cool. Opening
but
up.
But they never finished it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, opening up with Season 3, it doesn't really bridge the gap. It just starts off where the movie ended. Like, the movie ended with them all shouting at, you know, Cybertron, you know, Cybertron's ours, and this, that, and the other thing. And then the Season 3 opener opens with them doing that, and then they're going off doing something else. I don't know. I haven't even gotten to that yet. I think, where am I? I am only at... right now, I am on the immobilizer in Season 2.
Nice.
So, that's where I've gotten so far.
But it looks like you've answered a couple of the other questions and within the other questions, so, like, what made you decide to make the podcast? You've already stated that, and, so, what are your plans after this series?
At this point, I have no clue. There were several, and I hate to keep pimping these guys out, but Michael David Sims runs a website called www.earth-2.net. It is a website dedicated to geek culture. On their forums, they talk about comic books, movies, cartoons, video games, horror, sci-fi, everything. And, they were, someone had asked him what plans are for after him and James finish up World's Finest Podcast. And someone had mentioned several different topics, and he had said no to one of them, which was a Knight Rider podcast. Now, I have been a big fan of Knight Rider ever since I was little. Now, I may end up doing a Knight Rider podcast reviewing the entire 80s series, the 1990 reunion movie, 2000, and then the 2008 series, but that is, like, way down the line. I don't even know. I'm just focused on this right now, and that's pretty much it for me.
Alrighty, and how can people contact you for feedback, comments, or suggestions for your podcast?
For the podcast, I have set up an email address. It is tfg1@gmail.com, or you can find me on the TF Wire forums. My forum name is TFFan1051, or if people would like to join the Earth2.net forums, my handle on there is DCAUFan1051. just email in and let me know what you think, folks.
Alrighty, and if you'd like to submit listener questions to my podcast, you can send them to podcast@predaconempire.com. Also, you can post them in the Cafe Spark, which is the forums for predaconempire.com. And I can be contacted on things like Facebook, Twitter. My Twitter name is SCP21. Look forward to seeing people on there, too. And be sure to leave comments, feedback on
iTunes
for both the both there and the Predacon Empire forums and the TFG1 podcast email, and let Mike know what you think about his podcast. And
yes, please, please write. I hate to pimp the show, but please write reviews in iTunes. That is the best feedback that people can give, is writing reviews in iTunes. Even if you're just going to rate it as far as the star ratings, just write a review in iTunes for it. You can find me on Twitter as well, TFG1 Podcast, I think is what I changed it to. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what you had. I don't remember.
You can just follow Steve, and then you can find me under Steve's followers. It just has the podcast artwork.
Yeah, well, it'd be kind of hard to find you on mine. I have, like, so many followers, and I'm following, like, a bazillion people.
Yeah.
But I'm in the, I have you in the favorites, for at least one, so I can get to yours pretty quick. Because usually you write me a message a little bit quicker than
and Birdman.
A few other people, or Birdman. But yeah,
sorry to pick on you, Mike, but it's true. You are.
Yeah, I'm just having fun messing with you. I sent you a message a couple months ago, and every week I'm supposed to hear from you.
I asked him before I even got into the podcast. I asked him for his email because I wanted to email him stuff on the books of poetry that I have published. Because I figure the guy's in media, he could help me figure out some way to promote my books other than just telling people about it online and selling them myself. And he never answered back. So,
well, he is pretty busy, so I mean, I can understand
that. No, I completely
don't mean to
understand
pick on him about
that. I completely understand that he is extremely busy. But he, out of everybody that I've met online or whatever doing podcasts or listening to podcasts, he has got to be the busiest person out of them all. I mean, this guy does not go without doing something at least 10 times a day.
Oh, I know. Every time I try and get a hold of him, he's like, I sent him an email, I think, a couple months ago with a demo, and never heard nothing back for a little bit. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call because I left my phone number in there. And he's like, yeah, I didn't have time to send an email, so I'm just contacting you real quick. And then, so I was supposed to get a message on, I think, Twitter. Or I got a message on Twitter saying that they have plans for me, which still confuses the hell out of me.
When I first saw that.
I'm waiting to see what that's going to be.
Yeah, when I first saw that Twitter message, he's like, we talked about you in a meeting today. We have plans for you. It's like, oh, crap, they're going to kidnap him and take him to Canada. Holy shit.
Hell, that'd be awesome, because
You're nice pretty close to Canada, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Michigan, so I'm only about 4 hours away, so a little bit of drive time. But
surprised
yeah,
you and Jesse haven't met yet face to face. He's in Michigan too.
Yeah, he's like 2-3 hours north of where I'm at. So, but I have talked to him on a podcast before on Play On episode 6, where we discussed Super Smash and. Also in episode 93 of TF1.
Yeah, I tried listening to some of those other ones that they have retired. I tried listening to the Roundtable one. I didn't try War Stories, but I don't know. It's just some podcasts, if I start to listen to it, I just cannot get into it. It's
like,
because of the host voice. I just cannot get into what they're talking about, and it's like, oh, God, I need to listen to Nickelback now.
But yeah, I never really listened to the what is it, the anime one, and I listened to the Fangirls on site, play on. I didn't listen to a Taco Bot. Roundtable, I listened to. War Stories, I don't listen to, but that's because I was the voice.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part about doing this podcasting thing. When you sent me the final thing, I'm like, why am I sitting here listening to my own voice? And it's just too
Yeah,
weird.
I find myself doing that quite often as well.
That's why I kept mentioning to people about doing a G1 review show. I was hoping they would take up the mantle and do it themselves so I could actually be a fan and listen to it, but here we are.
Yeah, I was glad to do the War Stories thing, and it was supposed to be a bi-weekly show, and, well, you saw how that went. There should have been probably 20-some episodes, and no, there was 15, but that was due to my laziness. But not only that, but I work a lot, so I work, like, 14-hour days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because I work two jobs, and then Thursday, Friday, I work my normal 9-hour days, and then go home, and I spend time with my fiance on the weekends, and so mostly when I record this, it's when either she's still at work or, which is today, and so because she likes to sit there and pick on me while I record, and I can't concentrate.
Yeah, hell, I can't concentrate, and I don't have anybody here at all either. Just to let people know. TFG1 podcast will be a fortnightly podcast every other week, every other Friday. Episode 1 premiered this past Friday, the 12th. Episode 2 will be up, hopefully, if Steve gets the feed right this time, on Boxing Day, December 26th, the day after Christmas. That's pretty much what's happening with TFG1. It will be every other Friday, hopefully before noon, but most likely before midnight the next day.
I don't understand why it didn't show up on iTunes.
I don't understand it either. I have no clue. I can open... Well, if I had my iPhone out here, which I don't, seeing as how on the first episode of the podcast, when somebody called me, it came through the recording. So, but I can pull up iTunes now, and I can search for it, and I'd be willing to bet you $10 it still has your feed listed under my episodes. Because the last time...
You're going to owe a lot of people money then. But
no, I'm not going to be owing anybody money.
It's still in there. I don't know why. I've already uploaded the fix.
Well,
but
I went to the...
I think it's how slow they do it. I don't understand.
Oh, don't even get me started with iTunes crap. I bought 3 season passes of 3 shows for this year. For TV shows, I got Knight Rider, Smallville, and something else. I don't remember what it was. And according to iTunes, it is supposed to be 24 to 48 hours after the show is aired. Well, it'll show up where you can buy it in the iTunes store, but my automatic download did not start. So I had email wars with the iTunes store for a while. Let's see what we can find here for TFG1 and iTunes.
Yeah, I just found it, but it still got my feed for whatever
reason.
Hey,
I told you. You owe me $10. Let's go.
No.
I take PayPal.
All right. But surprisingly, my feed's at the top of the top, like, 12, which is amazing.
Well, I went on Predacon. Yep, still shows yours. I went on PredaconEmpire.com because you told me that you had posted it on there. And I went and copied the feed link and I posted it on the Earth2.net forums. I have a topic on there called the TFG1 podcast by DCAUFan1051. And I posted it on there for everybody so that way they could actually get to the direct feed, which actually does work. But in iTunes, it's still showing all things Transformers.
Oh, yeah, double pimping there. No, I'm just playing. But
yeah, you want to hog the number one spot. I don't think so.
Actually, what's funny about that is you've got more subscribers than I do already. Believe it or not.
And my show is not that good so far.
Well, no, you've got like 8 subscribers so far, and I've got 18. So, I was like, oh, yeah, people must be downloading it because I see, like, 25 copies download and then, like, 40 copies of an episode. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's doing good. And then I look at the actual who subscribed, and it's like, nobody.
Yeah, The only problem I had when I first found your podcast was, and I think you fixed this, I hope you have, the artwork thing. When I subscribed to your podcast, it would download the episode, but it would not download the artwork. And there's an option in iTunes where you can go to, I think it's controls or settings or store or something, where you where it says you can get album artwork. And every time I click on that, nothing happens.
Well, it's not just mine. It's like because there's a couple other ones that I subscribe to that have artwork that just doesn't show up. Because, like, I subscribe to, like, VoiceOver Experts, and then I've subscribed to some various other ones, and they don't show up. I don't know if it's something with iTunes or something, or if it's just my stupidity that can't figure it out, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess we'd better end this episode. We're getting pretty damn close to an hour and a half, and
yeah.
my dog's going ape shit on me right now, biting the hell out of my hand. So she's like, "Damn it, get off!"
You may want to rephrase that. That didn't sound right.
Yeah, you know that's not going to get edited. Up today. Sit here and
oh crap, that's funny. All right, well, it was a pleasure being here on All Things Transformers.
Please, it was great having you on.
Please listen to both of our podcasts, even though we ramble on a lot. I'm actually reading feedback on Earth2.net forums, and it's not looking too good from one person, but tough shit. I'll take any and all suggestions, and I will incorporate them and try to work on it. Like I said, I'm new to this whole podcasting thing. Hell, before last week, I never even had a headset. I was going to say a hot set. The hell is a hot set?
I don't know what it is, but that sounds cool. No.
Something that burns your ears, maybe.
Yeah. Fire in my ears! But anyways, this is Steve/Megatron signing off.
Yeah, this is Michael Blanchard from TFG1 signing off, and hope to see your feedback soon.
Long before leads them on. Life's the darkest hour, their one destiny. Truth has its moment and right always wins. Prepare for the fight, let the battle begin. Transformers, defenders of truth, robots who fight in disguise. Transformers, when the battle is proved, only the strong will survive.
Transformers, when the battle is proved, only the strong will survive.